Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. Everybody sitting up in their seats, please. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. Praise God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 is where we're going to go this morning. But that's not condemnation. That's encouragement. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Father, we love you this morning. Father, I pray for those that either child or children's sake. Father, again, I don't know the whole scope of the situation. I pray that it would be a branding into their heart, into their spirit. That, Father, it would be an enlightenment, an answer to the problems. Father, the Word and saturation of the Word will fix anything. Say, well, yeah. Well, they don't want to and they're not into it and it's not fun for them. Train your child in the way they should go. When they're older, they won't depart. At times, there's training, Father, and I pray. You know, Father, there's things that I tell my kids that I'm not necessarily thrilled about and wish could be different, but Father, it's good for them, so we do it, Father. So I just pray for that person, those people, whoever it is, Father, that they would get that revelation. And Lord, as we go forward this morning, I thank you. You're going to help us. I'm going to say what needs to be said. I'm going to do what needs to be done, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that whatever you want said, Father, is going to take place. Whatever you want done is going to take place. We're going to obey you. Be God here this morning. But Father, I thank you, you're going to speak to every single person's heart here. Hit a bullseye, and everybody's going to get something that's going to change their life. And we give you the praise for it. We give you the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been rich already. Amen. That offering message, getting offended, that was rich right there with the Word. Then the gift of the Spirit at operation. We're in for a doozy. Praise the Lord. But in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, or surrounded about, with so great a cloud of witnesses. You say, who are the cloud of witnesses? Well, it's not the people staring at you in line at Walmart. It's talking about the people in Hebrews chapter 11, the verses before, which were the people in Hebrews chapter 11 were what we call the hall of fame for faith, right? The hall of faith. And it mentions a lot of great men, and it mentions a lot of great women of God in that chapter that went on and did wonderful and did great things for God. And it says now that we're surrounded by a cloud of those witnesses. And the Bible, one translation says, they're cheering us on. They're encouraging us to run our race. We have some mighty men and women of God egging us on to do the good things for Him. Amen? It says, because we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now here's the thing you have to understand. Your race that's before you is different than my race that's before me. And that's why the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Your race is different. My race is different. But the point is, you have a race. Amen? The Amplified, we don't need to pull that up. I'll just read it. The Amplified of the run the race, it says to run the appointed course. What's that called? It's called the path, or the plan of God for your life. He didn't say to casually go about it. He didn't say to stumble into it. He didn't say to be lackadaisical about it. He said, that path that is before you, I want you running on that path. In fact, I want you to lay aside things that would slow you down. I want you to lay aside things that would hinder you. God says there's a path and there's a plan. It's an appointed course, your specific plan. Do you know that God, before the foundations of the world, we know this through Jeremiah. The Bible says about Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, Jeremiah. Before Pastor Mike Anderson was formed in Mama Joanne's belly, he knew me. Before you were in your mama's belly, he knew you. And the Bible said he ordained Jeremiah to be a prophet. What did he say? Jeremiah, I knew you before you were even a little baby in the belly, before you were even a little squiggly, slimy little thing in there. I knew you, and I made a plan and a path for your life. And I ordained that you should walk in it, praise God. Now, I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. So he says to run that race. Run the race. Well, just think about this and we'll see where we're going here this morning. He said to run the race. I've not seen an Olympian get down at the starting gate and all of a sudden they say, go, and the finish line's that way in the 100-yard dash. And they're there and they're down. The gun goes off and they go, and go backwards. I've not seen that yet. What's he talking about running the race? Going forward in God. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Heather, would you please pull that one up in the Amplified Bible? It brings it out much more clearer. It amplifies it. Praise God. Who'd have thought? And it says Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Now think, it goes along with Hebrews 12, what we're talking about. We are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. Now here it is. Taking paths which He prepared. You know what that sounds like? An appointed course. Or the race set before you. How did the race get set before you? God set it before you. He set a race before Jeremiah. He set a race before myself. And He set a race before you. And He said that you should take these paths that are planned beforehand, the paths which He prepared ahead of time. We'll keep going here if you'd flip over to the next slide. That we should walk in them. God's take is, if it were me, I'd walk in this. You should walk in this path, this appointed course, this path that I prearranged beforehand. Why? What will be the result if we do that? Living the good life. Yes, amen. A lot of Christians are not living the good life. It's hell on earth in their finances. It's hell on earth in their body. It's hell on earth in their emotions. It's hell on earth in their mind. It's hell on earth with their kids. Come on, do you know any Christians like that? I know Christians like that. I used to be one of them. Saved, born again, loved by God, going to heaven, but living hell on earth. Amen, it's true. He said, if we'll get on His path and His plan, His appointed course, His race, and if we'll run that thing, He said, we'll walk into the good life. You know why a lot of people are not living the good life, yet they're just as saved as you and I? They're just as blood-bought as you and I. They're just as heaven-bound as you and I. Because they're doing things their own way. Come on. I know, real popular here this morning. Welcome back, Pastor Mike. Thanks for coming back. It's good to be here with you. Missed y'all. Missed y'all so much, I'm going to give you I'm going to force-feed you today. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you. Go to Philippians chapter 3, excuse me, in verse 12. So we're talking about a race. We're talking about a path. We're talking about a plan that God has for us. And in that path, in that plan, it's the good life. It goes along with that word of knowledge. Yeah. You know that God's path for every single person is not to not go to church. Come on. It's not to not be casual about church. It's not to plant in a church that doesn't preach the Bible. The word of God for every one of His children is to plant, get a shepherd, and do the word. That's in His path and in His plan. And when people don't do that, it shows up in their life. Shows up in their money, shows up in their body, shows up in their mind, shows up in their children. It goes along with that word of knowledge. If you'll do it God's way and plant and get faithful and sell out to Him, you'll see that impossible thing in your children. You'll see that impossible thing in your finances. You'll see that impossible thing in your body. You'll see that impossible thing in your life start to turn. Because God's word is the answer. There is nothing that trumps this. I'm not against natural counseling. I'm not against natural doctors and help, but they don't even compare to God's counsel. Now, they can be used, and God can use those things. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not against counseling and programs and rehab and doctors. I'm not. I've used them. I'm thankful for them. But I'm saying sometimes the rehab and the doctors and the counseling, they don't have an answer. There's not enough medicine. There's not the right kind of medicine. There's not enough counseling that can change it. But God's Word can, ladies and gentlemen. Praise the Lord. He wants to help you, praise God. Do Pastor Michael and I preach a little different? Yes. I've heard he's a little quieter than me. Well, what's going on here today? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. The path that God has you on. You say, why are you so passionate about planting and doing the word? Because I care about people. Amen. And people could stand up here in this very room and say, since I planted and obeyed and did the word of God, things changed in my life for the better. Yeah, I'm one of those people. And I want to see that for everybody. But a lot of people do things their own way. It says in verse 12, not as though I have already attained, Paul talking, either we're already perfect. You say, I don't know everything. I'm not fully arrived. He said, but I follow after. He said, that word follow is to pursue, just so you know, to press forward. If that I may apprehend that, and I'm going to get to the that here in a second, for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, let me tell you that in English in the NIV. He says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What's he saying? He's saying, through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he purchased and provided some things. He says, for me to be able to walk into what he provided, he says, I'm going to have to press on or press forward to get what he has for me. Amen? Amen. So it's talking about the same thing. God's path, God's appointed course, the good life prearranged, made ready for you to live. It's all there out in front of you. But you got to get on his path and his course. And so I want to talk to you this morning about something that knocks people off their course, hinders people on the course, or absolutely paralyzes people on their course. I want to see all charging into what God has for you. Amen? Amen? He says in verse 13, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended yet. Remember, he said, I'm trying to apprehend. I'm trying to lay hold of what Jesus laid hold of for me. He says, I got to do that. I got to press forward. I got to keep going. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. He's saying, one thing I got down and I'm doing pretty good at. I forget those things which are behind. And look what he says. I reach forth. What's forth mean? Forward. I reach forth unto those things which are before me, not behind me. He said, if I'm going to apprehend what Jesus has for me, they're not in the past. They're not in the necessarily in the present. You might be experiencing some of those things, but all that he has for you is out on that path, out on that plan. And he says, for him to get that, he's going to have to reach forth, a reaching. And he says in verse 14, I press toward the mark of the high of the prize of the high calling of God. What is the mark of the prize of the high calling? His path, his plan for your life, the good life that he prearranged and made ready for you to live. Now, Paul said, I follow after it, I press after it. He says, I reach forward it towards it. He says, I press towards it. And he says, the key ingredient there is leaving the past in the past. Many Christians are living in the rearview mirror and it's holding them back when they should be living in the windshield and going forward, praise God. Now, this is what Paul said. Now, I want to show you something in verse 15 here. Because I know what happens. I know what happens. I know how the devil works. People get thoughts of forgetting those things which are behind, but you don't know the things that are in my behind. Well, that was a little weird saying it that way, but you know, let me rephrase that. Pray for me. I mean, like right now, pray for me. I don't know how to recover from that one. I'll say it this way. You don't know the things that are in my past. Woo. It's been 2 weeks. I forgot how to do this. Anyways, I know how the devil works. Oh, Lord. Let's just start over. Let's worship. Let's just get up and sing some songs and do the offering over and everything. But I know how the devil works. He gives people thoughts. How can he say that? The things that we're supposed to forget. He doesn't know what they are. He doesn't know what they are. And I know what the thought is. This, Pastor, how can you say this? You've never been through what I've been through. Let me tell you what one of the lies of the enemy is this. That experience trumps the knowledge of the word. It doesn't. A lot of people will say to me, but you don't understand what I'm facing and you haven't gone through the same thing. Yeah, but if the word has counsel for every single thing, it'd be like this. It'd be like somebody that's in rehab for their hip. And the therapist is telling them, do these exercises for your hip. But you never had a hip problem. You don't know what I'm experiencing. Come on. You'd say that's dumb. Because we know the therapist, even though he's maybe never had a hip problem, knows what to do. Doesn't need to have a hip problem to get. So it's not a fact of whether pastor has been through everything that you've gone through. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that there's no test or trial that anybody's facing that's not common and that Jesus can't associate with. So he's got word for it. So don't let the devil, in a bold message, because I, first of all, I'm not even the one that said, forget those things which are behind. Paul did. And Paul only said it because the Holy Ghost said it. And the Holy Ghost said it because that's what God wanted. And God wanted it because it'll set you free. Amen. Amen. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now look at verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, that means the word mature, be thus minded. It's a mindset, ladies and gentlemen. He said, if you want to get to what God has for you, there's something called your past that's going to try to keep you from it. And we're going to explore some things today and bring out some things that you might not even have realized are hindering you and holding you back. If Paul is saying that the only way I can get to all that Jesus apprehended for me, which is the plan of God, the path of God, I have to reach, I have to press, and at the same time going this way, I got to leave this there. Then you're going to have to do the same thing to get into all that God has for you. You're not going to be able to let the things from there. Now, we're not talking about, we're talking about things from back there that are trying to hold you in that place. That's what we're talking about. The depression, the guilt, the sadness, the devastation, the things that are back there trying to hold you there. He says, if you want to get forward and go on, you're going to have to press. I mean, it's not easy. I'm not going to stay up here and pretend and tell you it's easy or that just a stroll in the park. There's a reaching and there's a pressing to get there. But God wouldn't have told us to do it if we couldn't have.
That's right.
Amen? Yeah. It's available to you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but this is a major revelation. Are you ready? You should try this. I tried it last night at Olean and it looked weird. So I'll try it again. I'll see if I can do it today. You can't go two directions at once. Now I'm going to try, okay? I'm going to try to go that way. I'm going to try to go this way at the same time. I'm going to see. It's like, it doesn't work. Does it? You can't go two directions at once. You say, why do you say that? Because the only direction that God approves of and the only direction that faith is forward.
Amen.
That's it. The only direction that faith goes is forward. It goes forward fiercely. It goes forward pressing. It goes forward reaching. And it barrels into what God has for it. You know, Jesus said this, and because of time's sake, I won't have you turn there, but in Luke 9, Jesus said this. He said, when you put your hand to the plow, he said, don't look back. He said, anybody that looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What's he talking about? Forward. Forward. Forward, forward. When you've put your hand up, you say, I'm going forward in faith. Then that's the only direction. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't. So many people are looking over their shoulder and are held captive in the back when God says, catapult and spring forward. I remember when I started this church, you know, I had got supernatural revelation in August of 2009, working for Jim and Sue and the Cherries, you know, picking up cherry brush. I was alone all day that day, you know, and worshiping God and had my MP3 player on. And the Lord told me in fall of 2010, which would have been a year after that day, you know, that I'd start a church in South Dayton. And it was a supernatural, you know. And I went and told my pastor, and he said, Pastor Mike, you know, I had a vision years ago about South Dayton. He said that God said there'd be a church here and there'd be a great door of opportunity for it. And we've seen it. Amen. We've seen it. Praise God. And we're just not even scratching the surface yet. It's amazing what God's put in my heart for this place. But we'll get there. Amen. And we'll enjoy the journey. But anyways, he said, I didn't see the pastor of that church, but I know. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:9 that when there's a great door of opportunity, there's also many adversaries. So he said to me, he knew by the Spirit, he said, if you're called to do this, he says, when you do it, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. What was he telling me? There's going to be plenty of opportunity to look back. There's going to be plenty of opportunity to try. Let me tell you something. I remember services showing up. It was just me, Jeff, and another guy in a Wednesday night service. I'd pray all day long, seeking God to hear from heaven for people. I'd drive almost an hour to church and almost an hour home, and I'd come, and it would be Jeff and another guy. And let me tell you something. In that service, those services, those seats were not quiet. In fact, they would stick their little thumbs in their ears and do this to me. Stick their tongue out and they'd say, na-na-na-na-boo-boo. Your church is empty. What are you doing in this storefront? What are you doing? You smell that skunk? You smell that oil smell? The lady up above me that would vacuum while I preach? Frogs jumping out of the toilet? My feet are so cold, Jeff's offering to lay on my feet while I preach. I mean, he's crazy honorable. He is crazy honorable. Now, I don't make him do that stuff, just so you know. He said, I'll lay on your feet, pastor, while you preach. And I should have took him up on it. My little toes were getting cold. And it would talk to me in those services. What are you doing? What are you doing? But the words, forward, forward, forward. Lord told me. Go forward. Things in the past try to pull you back. Remember what Jesus said? You might not remember this, so I'll tell it to you. In Luke chapter 17, I believe it's over there around verse 32. He said this. This is the words of Jesus. Remember Lot's wife. He said that. Well, if Jesus told you to remember Lot's wife, he wants you to remember her. Well, let's talk about Lot's wife. Remember when they said, get the heck out of Sodom and Gomorrah? And the Lord said, the only thing, get going, go forward, and don't look back. Because if you look back, you're going to be hurt. Come on. Yeah. Was she hurt? Oh, yeah. She looked back, and all of a sudden, she became a pillar of salt, the Bible says. Was consumed. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the devil will eat your lunch and mess you up, and life will mess you up if you stay looking back and looking back. No, faith is forward all the time. Forward in the rebel. But here's the thing. He said, be thus minded. It's a mindset. It's a renewal of the mind. It's the only way you can do it. Because naturally, it's impossible. But spiritually and through the Word of God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen? So I want to help you today with three things real fast that the Lord told me to preach about. I'm sure there's others, but in this service, seemed good to do this. That people are struggling in moving into what God has for them. Are you ready?
Come on.
Number one, your failures, your mistakes, or your sins. Now let me tell you something. I know because I've been there in life. Man, I got a laundry list of mistakes. There's things that you have regrets about. My God, I should have done this. I should have, what if I would? I get it. I know. Things that you did that you know hurt people's lives, cost your family money, had a negative effect on your children. I get it. I know it's true. It's called life. It's called mistakes and failures. And see, a lot of people can't let those go. And they're consumed by guilt and condemnation. And the problem with guilt and condemnation is that it's not faith. Faith does not hang out with guilt and condemnation. Guilt and condemnation are faith robbers. Why? Because guilt and condemnation is where the devil resides. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to the ones that are in Jesus. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. He says, Jesus has nothing to do with condemnation and guilt. It's all the enemy. And people have no doubt things in their past that cost things, that they regret, that they're just filled with guilt, that the devil gives them pictures of all the time. If you'd have just did this, if you'd have just done that. Welcome to the club. Anybody here? Am I the only one in the club today?
Amen.
Get pictures of things? Or I'm guessing you weren't perfect either. And he gives you things. And he wants to hold you in that place. And see, you can't. What does Hebrews chapter 4 tell us? It says, if you want to obtain help from God, you must show up in His presence a certain way. Let us therefore come boldly. Boldly. If you're carrying around your guilt and condemnation, you ain't showing up with shame and guilt. You're not showing up with boldness. Right? It's like the example that my pastor uses, and I'll steal it from him. This will be the last time he'll ever get credit for it. From this point forward, it'll be a revelation God gave me. Now, at the end of the story, it'll be through my pastor, but we don't need to tell all the details here. You know, if I came downstairs, and usually it's Abby, you know, the one that's a little mischievous one of the family, and especially when it comes to food, you'd think this kid's like a puppy dog. I'm serious. I told the story on Wednesday night. I went putt-putting when we got home, and she's getting ready to tap her putt in, and I said something to Court, and I wasn't even saying anything about food, nothing, but she heard the word treat, and she went to hit the ball, and she went, snapped her head, she said, "What'd you say about a treat?" That's Abby for you. You know, if Abby doesn't eat good, I say, okay, no snacks. You know, we got a snack cupboard, you know, the cookies they get and stuff. None for you. You didn't listen, didn't do what you said. Now I go upstairs in my office, and she goes to get the stuff out of the cupboard, you know, and she's going to be real quiet, right? This is real life experience right here. I'm telling you, I'm just preaching this is a reality show now. And I come downstairs and see her, their hand in the bag of cookies or eating one. She won't be very bold in my presence. She'll be ashamed. She'll be guilty, right? Because she's got wrong on her. But if she ate good, I said, Abby, have at it. I can walk downstairs. She can be making all the noise she wants with the cupboard and the bag and have cookie all over her face. And I'm going to come down, she's going to smile at me, and she's going to be confident. Why? No shame and no guilt. And people carry this stuff of past failures and mistakes, and they carry it, well, I wish I would have. When you say, I wish I would have, or if I only could have, you are not you're not acting in faith when you do that. Because God gives you a get out of jail free card from your screw ups. From your mistakes. From your mess ups. I don't care. You say, this is where the devil will tell you, yeah, but he doesn't know. But who cares? Paul, the one that wrote this about forgetting and going forward, let me tell you a little bit about his life real fast. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 2. Look at this verse. People's failures hold them in place. They're not bold with God. I have people that say, well, I can't receive from God because I did this. Oh, man. When God is saying, you need to come in His presence and be like, Father, I'm your child and this belongs to me and I thank you for it. And a lot of people are going, how could He ever bless me? I have this. I did this. I did this in a marriage. I did this in my second marriage. I did my third, fourth, fifth. No matter. I did this with my kids. My kids turned out, this happened. And you're missing out on what's in front of you because you're not forgetting that which is behind you. And He said the only way you're going to apprehend or lay hold of everything that Jesus has for you is to press and go that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 2. Paul says, receive us. We have wronged no man. Now that word wronged means to hurt or to injure, to do wrong to cause one to suffer. Now Paul is writing, I've never wronged anybody. I never injured. I never caused anybody to suffer. I never did anything wrong to anybody. Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. Galatians 1 and verse 13, he said, for you have heard of my conversation or my behavior in times past. This is the same writer, Paul, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure, that means he couldn't even measure what he did. He says, beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That word wasted in the Greek means to cause havoc, to destroy. Acts 9 and verse 1 says that Saul, who's the writer of this, yet breathing murderous and threatenings and slaughter, that's a heavy word, against the church of God, persecuted it. Paul was responsible for taking innocent men and women of God out of their homes in front of their children and hailing them off to prison. Imagine the chaotic scene that Paul would have been a part of. Paul was responsible for holding the coats of the ones that stoned innocent Stephen that day, and stood there and approved and said, get him. This guy wrote, I have wronged no man. I don't know about you, stoning and making havoc and destroying and persecuting, that sounds like suffering. That sounds like injuring and harm being done. So we have a conundrum here. Either Paul's flat out lying and God let him lie and put it in the Bible, or something trumps what happened in the natural. Because those things happened. Paul really did it. In fact, Jesus knocked him on his can in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, knocked him right on his bum and said, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus testified he was doing it. And then Paul later writes, I haven't wronged anybody. Well, either he's lying or he's got a revelation that we need to have. And ladies and gentlemen, he has a revelation. What's his revelation? Go with me to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Oh, if I only. Stop that garbage talk. You can't. No matter how much you say, if I only, you can't.
That's right. Yeah. So good.
And life ain't going to stop, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to stop. So it's like, what choice do you have? You can accept the get out of jail free card from your past and your sins and your guilt and your shame, or you can stay in that place for the rest of your life and not receive what God has for you. You know what Paul was? He was masterful at forgetting his past. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, women included, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." What Paul was saying in Jesus, I'm not the man that did that. I'm brand new now. Now, people might say it, and the devil might say it, but Paul chose to take a higher revelation than what people would say or what the devil would say. He just chose to be stupid enough to believe God. To be one of those radical dummies that just take God at His word and rise above all the garbage and rise above all the negative things trying to pull him down. Yeah, there were pictures. Yeah, there were thoughts. Yeah, there were accusations. But Paul said, I'm going to be minded. I'm going to set my mind on what God says. And He says I'm brand new. And if that's what He says, that's all that matters. And so that's why he could write, "I've wronged no man," and live out of the revelation as though he never did it wrong. Whew. God offers you the opportunity, let me say this from up here so you really get it, to live as though you never did it wrong. He gives you that pass to live and to go forward into your tomorrows and your nights, to lay there in bed at night and to have the first free night, a free of condemnation and guilt, and to lay there and say, "That wasn't me. I didn't do that." Say, that's crazy talk. That's word. That's what Paul did. God didn't call him crazy. God used him mightily. Amen. You say, well, that's just for the new birth. Go to 1 John 1 and verse 9. That's just for when I get saved. 1 John 1 and verse 9. The other two will not take as long as this one. But you won't believe the things that I hear of people, and it's just like, you got to let that go. How? I'll tell you how later. But it's a mind thing. 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, you might say, yeah, but pastor, I knew better, man. I got saved. I was in church. Born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I still screwed it up, and I still missed it. And my answer to you would be, what's your point? So what? So? But I knew better. Here's your answer. Here's your ticket for freedom. If you confess your sins, your wrongs, your mistakes, He is faithful, and He is just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Father.
I am a dangerous eater. I should say this. My clothes are in danger when I eat, especially if it's like red sauce related. Oh, watch out. And I have brought shirts to the dry cleaners before that had a huge pizza stain or spaghetti stain on there, and it's there, it's for everybody to see, it's a blemish, and it's a mess up, it's a screw up, and I've brought it to the dry cleaners. And go with me real quick to Isaiah 43 as I'm preaching this, Isaiah 43:25, and I go to the dry cleaners, Isaiah 43:25, and I give it to them, and they do something. All I know is when I get my shirt back, That which was there has been blotted out. He says in Isaiah 43:25, he says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out your stains, your transgressions, your if I only could have or I wish I should have. Those are blotted out in his eyes. Accept the freedom. Accept the mercy. Accept the new life he's given you and offering you.
Thank you, Father.
I, even I, am he that blotteth out transgressions for my own sake. He says, I'm not even doing it for you, I'm doing it for me. He says, and I won't even remember your sins. He says, I won't remember them. They're gone. Now the devil will remember them and people might remember them, but that's your problem. Don't live out of the devil's reality.
That's right. That's
so I try to pull people out of situations that are naturally hard. Listen, when you start living in a reality of eternity in heaven, this life's a breeze. Because on that side, see, the Bible says life's but a vapor. It doesn't seem like that way down here. I mean, 5 years from now seems like forever. 10 years seems like forever, right? But on that side, when you have a revelation of eternity, you look back to this life and you say, that was like a vapor. It was there, but it's gone just like that. When you start comparing 100 year, million years, 200 million years, 300 quadrillion years, whatever numbers they have when it gets up to that point, to 70, 80 years here, it's like a breath. And when you start living out of the terms of reality or start renewing your mind to God's word, it raises you up above your situation. You're untouchable.
Amen.
Hey, man, there's nothing you can touch you when you start living like that. I'm telling you. But you got to be crazy enough to live like that. You got to be crazy enough to not believe what the world's telling you, what your thoughts are telling you, what your emotions are telling you, what your feelings. And you got to be crazy enough to say, I'm only setting my sights on this thing. But I'll tell you what, the people that are crazy enough to do that will rise right up out of that thing. Paul had, dude, can you imagine the madness and the chaos in his mind? But he set his sights on, I'm brand new. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what, you know, I preached today and I saw a family member that was related to one of the people that I killed or pulled away. But you know what? The devil would talk, how dare you preach them? How dare you preach them? Paul said, I'm brand new. That's the plane I'm living off of. Glory to God. Your hurts, your mistakes are one confession away from you being free. If you confess, he's willing to forgive you from all. So don't let the devil tell you, yours is too bad. But yeah, but mine really cost somebody's life. It really hurt them and it caused all. God's saying, here's your freedom. He's so merciful, people. But the people that will sit there and say, yeah, I can't ever do that. It's easier said than done. Okay. Paul said, let as many that be mature think this way. You're just showing your immaturity, but you don't choose to accept the word of God. And again, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying thoughts won't come. It is a reaching. It is a pressing. But if you'll reach and press, you'll walk into victory. Number two, we've got to speed this up here. Things that are trying to hold you back from all that God has for you in the forward are the hurts that you've experienced. Now, it doesn't mean you won't have thoughts. It won't mean that you won't get pictures. I'm talking about moving from the place of the hurt that you've been so hurt it paralyzes you. Let me give you an example of a story. The Drants will be here next week. Maybe they'll tell the story. So if they tell, it'll be a lot better, and they'll probably, you know, do it way more justice. But Brother Kevin told the story one time of a minister that was, in their eyes, good friends of theirs. And they have no idea naturally why this happens. Now, spiritually, we know that the devil influences people. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but the devil will influence people to do things. I mean, I've seen it here, you know, people that are all on board and they love you and they're 2 days, they're blessing you, and the next 2 days they're telling you how much they can't stand you, they're never coming back. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen how people get influenced. And all of a sudden they got rumor, or were told, that this minister was saying these things about them that was hurtful and false, that could really hurt their credibility. And it wasn't true. And they found out that it was confirmed. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you watch the news at all, but it don't matter anymore. All it takes is an accusation. We are far past the days of innocent until proven guilty. It's sad. The presumption of innocence, that's garbage anymore. People can say anything and then the mob will assemble. Come on, you know it's true. The mob will assemble and go after and go after and go after. Hallelujah. So much for due process. And so when you get an accusation about your life, you know, people that are trained in the love of God, in the Word of God, there's a mentality in the flesh to be have a mob mentality and attack that thing. And so not only were they devastated that this was a friend that would do this, but now what are these other ministers going to think? What's this going to do for our reputation? And it caused him to go into a deep depression, a hurt. A real life situation that caused him to hurt. See, God doesn't want you to stay in your hurts. God wants you to live in victory even amongst your hurts. There's no doubt things hurt us and things come across our plate and things emotionally and they can just come and nail us in the flesh. It's like, whoa, and devastating thing. But God wants us to move out of that. Amen. He doesn't want you to stay there. And so Brother Kevin, he said, I'm just so sad. I didn't want to go out of the house, you know. You go to churches and you just wonder who's heard what, who's saying what. They couldn't get, I mean, this stuff spreads like wildfire. It's sad, isn't it? You know what love does? Love thinks the best of everybody. You know what love does? Love gives the benefit of the doubt. Love lets things play out before attack, attack, attack. I mean, there's people that come to an attack. There's people that right now out there could say that Pastor Mike has mistreated a female in his past. They could say that. And somebody out there in the world, just hearing that, not even knowing me, start getting on me and calling for my head. That's how it happens. It's true. They do the same thing about you. So-and-so did this. Instead of, well, what's the fact? What really happened? Oh, get them out of their job. Get rid of them. So that's what the Drants were facing. And they didn't want to go out. And Brother Kevin's in depression, you know. And all of a sudden he got a revelation. Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, how would you live if you lived out of the reality that hurt never happened to you? And he started to think about that. He said, wow, I wouldn't care what people thought. I wouldn't care what people were saying. I wouldn't be so devastated. It wouldn't paralyze me in depression and all this. And I'd go forward even though the hurt happened, but if I lived in the reality, it's brand new, it's gone, it's over. Now again, it takes a radical Christian to live that way. But a radical Christian was Paul, and he was victorious. Amen. Amen. I'll tell this story. I told it on Wednesday, and I'll tell it again. You know, there was a lady in Pastor Tim's church. When I was the associate pastor, he would have me deal with certain people that he just felt led that for me to sit down across from him at a desk, you know, and help them. And there was a young girl who had been abused and mistreated in her life when she was younger by family members. Horrific things, you know, things that are unfathomable that just make me want Jesus to come back right now. You know, those kind of things. And she was held in that place of hurt and depression for so long that it caused her body to break down, stressed, and you know, she tried to cope with it by reaching out with food, and it was causing her weight to get out of control, and she... that was causing more depression for her and more sickness in her body. And she sat in front of me and I said, do you want to be free from this? I said, I didn't go through what you went through. But Jesus, the Bible says, can be touched with everything that we go through. And so therefore he has an answer for what you're going through. And I said to her, I said, if I can get you to renew your mind to what the Bible says, you'll be free from this. She said, I've tried counseling. I've tried everything. She says, it just haunts me all the time. I said, this was a stupid question to ask her, but it meant to be stupid, you know. I said, would you rather have lived this life that it never happened? Wouldn't life be different if it never happened to you? So tears just start flowing, you know. Heart just breaking for her, but I know her answer. If I can get her, you know, a lot of people, I can't get them up on that level. Because they just cling to that instead of clinging to this. You got to cling to this. And again, don't you start thinking, oh, you're uncompassionate. And no, I'm so compassionate that I'll tell you the truth and pull you up out of that thing. That's compassion, to not see you stay there. And so I'm like, I can get her out of this if she'll just do what I say, which is the word. I said, The Bible says, forget those things which are behind, that old things passed away, all things become new. I pointed out Paul, you know, and different things. And I said, what if you renewed your mind that you're actually a new creation in Christ, and that old things passed away, they're gone, and that you could now, instead of associating yourself with an abuse as an abuse victim, be a child of God victor who walks in victory? She said, I don't get it. I said, that's what God says you can legally, by His word, do. Say, I've never been hurt in that way before. And live out of the reality that I am not an abuse victim. Now you're looking at me and it's quiet in here because I know the wheels are turning up above. But a murderer said, I never murdered. A killer of Christians said, I never did it. And God said, I approve. And she said, how do I do this? I'll tell you at the end. I told her. I said, if you'll do this, you'll get free from that thing. And she did it. She walked around saying, when thoughts would come up, instead of associating herself with... That's why I don't like people when they say, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm a this, I'm a that. Stop putting yourself back there. You're new. You're new. You're new. New creation in Christ Jesus. Start associating with who you are now. Start calling yourself who you are now. I used to be an alcoholic. I know. I know. Pastor Tim and I were able to minister to our guide on the trip that we went on. And I believe that trip was more about that than the hunting. That guy said to us the first day we were with him, he said, you guys were sent to me for a purpose. And he started to open up, a 50-year-old gentleman named Rob, who's a police officer, a former police officer. And we were telling him our testimony. I know, I remember being in the woods with Pastor Tim. And beers as long, I mean, you couldn't drink all of them. And looking at him and him looking at me and saying, what are we doing with our lives? We know there's something more. And so I know what it's like to come out of that, but I certainly am not calling myself that anymore. I'm free! I'm a new creature, praise God. Hallelujah. And so I told her that. And so now she's not associating. When things would come on the television screen of abuse in movies or something, she'd see, and it would send her in a downward spiral. From now, she stopped it at the gate and said, that's not me. I'm brand new. That never happened to me. And she lived in victory. She went on, lost the weight, became sold out to God, started serving faithfully in that church, met a wonderful guy, and now is the mother of a beautiful baby. Yeah, free, completely free. She'll see me and talk to me about that meeting long time ago. I don't even hardly recognize her anymore because of the way, you know, the weight that she lost and stuff, and tell me and set her free. But most people will look at you crazy and say, you're incompassionate, you're not, and they'll stay there and they'll just want to cling to those hurts, cling to those hurts. Why? God gives you a get out of jail free card, but it's all about renewing the mind. Hallelujah. Number three, and then about the past that holds him back, is the time that passes from the time you released your faith for something, whether it's healing, whether it's money, whether it's a spot for a spouse, whether it's for a baby, whether it's for, I don't know what people believe in God for around here, but there's a time you release your faith and then there's a space and time that it manifests, right? Well, the time that goes by will mess with your head and will start talking to you about, it's been 6 months. It's been 5 years. It's been 2 years. And all those things start talking to you and it try to pull you off your place of forward and victory into, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe it's not going to come to pass. It has been that long. Going forward means forgetting all the days since you released your faith to get to the present day. Because you talk about something that will pull people off of faith is when they get talked to about, yeah, but it's been this long and it hasn't happened. I guess you're right. Or, well, must be I did something wrong. It's not going to happen. No, that's why we preached on faith and patience. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Stay in faith and stay in patience and joy and endurance and hopefulness until it shows up. Amen.
Amen.
See, this is again where you have to be just crazy enough to believe God's word. When you release your faith in Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. So he says, two things have to happen when you pray. You're praying, that's one thing you're doing, but you're believing you received it when you pray. Okay, so that's a certain time and space. So then you come down here at 6 months down the road, and your thoughts start telling you, where's that at? Where's that? It's been 6 months. Faith is never concerned with time, because faith already received it 6 months ago. Again, we're talking about this up here. People that want to renew their mind and take what God has offered them. Faith isn't concerned with time. Well, it's been 2 years. Faith's not concerned with that because faith already got it 2 years ago.
Amen.
Said you got to believe you receive it. Amen? So then in closing, how do you do this? Because Pastor Mike, it's easier said than done. I get it. You're crazy. The pictures are real. The emotions are real. I was there. Yes, so was Paul. What did Jesus do when the devil talked to him? Did he sit there and cower and think on it and meditate on it and flip it over in his mind 10 times? No. Jesus responded immediately. Didn't he? In the wilderness when the devil came, he responded with the word. So, for people that have past sins and things like that, and hurts and the faith thing, when he gives you a picture or gives you a thought, don't toss it over in your head. Cast it down and bring it to the word, like the Bible says. It's like this. I'll give you an example. When I walk down that hallway to come out here, more times than not, I am being bombarded from there to there in my mind about how dare you think you can get in front of people with what's in your past. I get it all the time. I get pictures of things I did. Oh, man, if they knew what you did in high school, they wouldn't receive from you. They'd be going down the road as fast as they could. If I get those thoughts all the time. So what do I do? Oh, yeah, you're right. I am bad. And that'll sink you into a condemnation and depression. I say, devil, I see that picture. But that's nothing more than a lie. That never happened. I'm brand new. Whoever that happened to, that person's old and passed away. And I just keep living in victory. But other people, I guess I shouldn't be up here. And I can't do this. And I'm terrible. And I can't receive from God. And I just can't get past what happened to me. No. God says, go forward. Amen. If you want to receive all that he has from you, it's in that direction. And you're going to have to reach, and you're going to have to press, because there's going to be thoughts and people and things trying to hold you back. No, just live out of the reality of what he said you can have. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Oh, Lord. Lord, I'll say it again, because it's true. If this life in the natural realm were all that there was, what a depressing life it would be. It would be a life filled with no answers, of just having to accept whatever comes our way. It would be a life that when it's over, what would we have to look forward to? But Father, we thank you. There's a higher plane. There's a higher plane of eternity. And there's a higher plane of the Word of God that offers us an escape from all of these things in the natural. Yes, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll say this. Some of these things are not naturally possible for you to move past. It will take a supernatural, which is the word, to move past it, to go forward. Because I know in the natural you think, that's impossible. How can I move past that? That's impossible. It is impossible naturally. But it's not impossible when you renew your mind to the supernatural. It's supernatural. Glory to God. Father, we love you. Let's worship him for a second. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness, for your love and your kindness. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know the answer is yes. I say, but how can you be so sure? Because I did what Jesus said to do to get to heaven. And it didn't include church attendance, and it didn't include having my good deeds outweigh my bad, and it didn't include giving to charity and being generous. I just simply did what the Bible said. I confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. If you're here this morning listening to me or by live stream, and you can say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, Jesus is your ticket into heaven. If you confess and believe, that's it. Say, I have not been. Doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter. But this doesn't matter. When you get in front of God someday, it ain't going to be about what you did and didn't do. It's going to be what you did and didn't do with His Son. Not about what you did and didn't do in a relationship, what you did and didn't do in your job, what you did and didn't do in your family, what you did and didn't do in school. Nope. What'd you do with Jesus? Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you could say, Pastor, I don't know that I go to heaven, but I want to go to heaven for sure. It's a free gift. You're not joining this church. You're not becoming a member of this church. You're not making... All you're doing is making a commitment to Jesus today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Is there anybody that wants to receive Jesus for the first time here this morning? Would you just lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive Him? I see that hand. You could put it down. Is there anybody else? Don't let this moment pass you by. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus here this morning and know that your eternity is sealed? Again, you're not joining this church or making any commitment other than to Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not trying to embarrass you. Anybody else want to receive the Lord before we close? Just lift your hand high in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. So how do I know you're talking about me? Because your heart's telling you, don't miss out on this. Don't miss out on this. Anybody else before we close want to receive Jesus here this morning? Lift your hand high in the air. Anybody? Father, we had one hand. And Lord, there might be others in here that are just shy or people that are listening right now or in the future that, of course, I wouldn't be able to see raise their hand. But Lord, there's one step left to do, and it's to confess with our mouth. The raising of the hand was a statement of belief or an action of belief, but now we need to receive Jesus the biblical way. So if you're here and you raised your hand, or if you're here and you should have raised your hand, or if you're listening and you want to be included in this prayer, we're all going to pray a prayer with you. You won't be the only one saying anything. But this prayer, just to let you know what it is, it's going to be you asking, confessing you believe in Jesus and asking Him to come into your heart. All I do is ask that you repeat after me and mean it when you pray it. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, that person that raised their hand along with other people that should have and the whole church, say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for our sins. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you can go ahead and get ready for the communion. God's good to us, isn't He?
Amen.
If you just prayed that for the first time, the good news is you have eternity to look forward to. I don't know about you folks, but I think at times we need to put our minds more on our real home. I think about heaven all the time. Why? Because it's better than here. And it's what I have to look forward to, and it makes the things down here seem minimal. Amen? Thank God for heaven. It's real. Hallelujah. And your next step, if you prayed that for the first time, is plant in a Bible teaching church. Doesn't have to be here, but get a pastor that teaches the Bible. Start doing what the Word says and watch God bless your socks off. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. At this time, brothers, you come forward. We're going to take up the elements for communion. And it's just a time to be reverent and to worship God and to think about what Jesus has done for you. Thank you, Steve.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I just encourage you to worship and thank Him. This is the time that we remember what He did for us on the cross. So if you hear me talking up here, I'm talking to the Lord and worshiping Him. And I encourage you to do the same. And Lord, we worship You this morning. We thank You for what You have done for us. Now, Lord, the Bible says that there's things that we can apprehend. There's things that we can lay hold of that You have laid held of for us that we have to reach for. But, Father, those things would never be possible if it weren't for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank You so, so much for what You have done for us through Your Son. And Jesus, we honor You today. We have reverence for You. What You went through and the price that You paid for us, we do not take it lightly. We do not take it for granted. Lord, the scars in Your head are real. The hole in Your side, it's real. The print of the nails in Your hands and Your feet, they're real. And we thank You that You suffered and paid that price for us. Lord, we are so grateful that You loved us so much, that You would come off of Your throne in heaven, become a man, and humble Yourself and become obedient to the point of death on a cross. And Lord, if there would have been one person, if I'd have been the only person that you'd have done it for, you'd have done it. If nobody else would have received you, you'd have done it for me. You'd have done it for every single one of us. We love you and we praise you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23, Paul writing about communion, he says, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's go ahead and break the bread in remembrance of his body being broken and go ahead and eat. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your body was broken so ours wouldn't have to be. That the stripes were laid upon you so that we could walk in healing. We thank you. We reverence you. This is not just some religious act, Father, that we do and get a little snack at. No, this is in remembrance of your body being broken. Thank you, Lord. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped or ate, saying, this cup is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death. So the juice represents the blood of Jesus. Let's go ahead and drink it. Lord, the Bible says we were purchased with the blood of Jesus, without spot or blemish. So Lord, we thank you for the precious blood that was shed on Calvary that enables us to walk free, to walk spotless as white as snow. I think it's just fitting that we just stand to our feet and worship Jesus before we close. This can't just become an exercise that we do. Lord, we love you. Thank you. Thank him from the freedom that he offers you of the hurts and the mistakes, the freedom that he gives you. Jesus' blood gives you that opportunity. The word gives you the opportunity to move past those things and to live in a new revelation. Lord, I pray for each person here that they would get a revelation of what was taught today, Father. And like that girl at Jamestown, like Brother Kevin, like Paul did, like I have in my life, they would rise above and they would live out of the reality that you offered them, and victory would be theirs. They might have to cast a thought down 100 times a day, but Father, it's worth it. It's worth it. If you keep just beating the devil up over the head with the Bible, he'll stop. He'll stop. So Lord, we worship you, we love you, we praise you. Father, we thank you for the food. I heard there's tacos over there, Lord. So we thank you for the food, and we thank you for the people that prepared it, that stay to clean up and do all that. Father, we pray that you'd bless them. Bless this food to our body. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. See you Wednesday night, 6:30. Thank you, Michelle.